In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm a firm believer of evangelism, spirit-led evangelism. So please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. Oftentimes, Brother Barr, we use the means of invitation to invite our friends and families and acquaintances, perhaps co-workers, to come to church. And while I believe that has its place, I firmly believe, Brother Barr, that everybody needs to have a come-to-Jesus moment. Everybody has got to have that moment where it's not about people. It's not about the programs that you have. But it's about meeting Him. I usually wait until I have a God moment, till that individual has a God moment, before I bring them here. I'm not saying that you can't do that. I'm just saying that before they come here, they got to be in a search for Jesus. Meeting me is not going to do you any good. But right in the midst of your situation, right in the midst of your crisis, right in the middle of your failure, right in the middle of your brokenness, if we could somehow introduce you to Jesus Christ. There are things that you will not understand. There are things that you will not agree with until you have a come to Jesus moment. And when you finally see Him, when you finally meet Him, when you finally see Him face to face, then all the other things pale. All because you've had your moment with Him. Is there anybody in this place today has had an encounter with Jesus Christ? If you know Him, why don't you lift up a praise right now? Oh, a heartfelt, faith-filled praise right now. Come on. Rabo Soto Boko Ramanda Lala Bahaya. Eka Rabaya Taya Lala Bahaya. Ika Rabashaya Lala Bosha. Ika Rabashataya Lala Bahaya. This is not about social programming. This is not about social networking. This is about Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hey, Katabahaya. Come on, are you broken? Are you in a situation that you don't have answers for? Wonderful. Perhaps you're about ready to meet him. Otoboko. Ikalaratasi yonobos. Ikalaratabahaya. Can we put our hands together one more time for him? Oh, yes, come on. Come on, I hear a ringing right now. I hear a ringing right now. And it's not from the noise of your hands, but it is a ringing in the spirit right now. Come on, come on, come on. It's all right. When you get to heaven, you won't get tired. Hallelujah. When you see him, you won't go weary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to cast your crowns before him and you're going to give him glory. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Rabba Sandololobusha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hear the running of spiritual waters right now. I hear the sound of a supernatural flow of grace in this place. Ikalarabahaya. Ikalaratasi. Hallelujah. Oh God. When I was a much younger man, actually I was a new convert. There were songs that we used to sing that just draw on my heartstring, and you could sing them for hours and it seemed like just a few minutes. I don't know about you, but you ever got in the presence of the Lord and a song got caught in your spirit and everything you did didn't matter? If you were on a bus, didn't matter if you were driving in a car, didn't matter if you were in a hole, you know, digging a hole somewhere, didn't matter if you were sitting behind your desk, that song would ring over and over and over again. Not a new song, the same song. All day long. Sometimes, Brother Ben, it would go on for not just one day, but the next day you wake up, that song is still there. And you just, not singing it out loud, but in your spirit, there was just a constant flow. Just a constant flow. I feel that. I sense that flow here today. I know sometimes I think we move just a little too hastily. We sing a chorus a few times and we begin to feel just a little bit of something, and then we want to go on. We want to switch up and go to another song. But oh, if we could just learn to linger. Linger in his presence. Oh, anybody know anything about waiting on the Lord? Lord, I'm here until you say. I'm here, Lord, until you change the song. I'm here, God, until you decide to do something different. Oh, God, but I want you to know I'm here. You ever sat in silence and there was no words to be spoken, but you knew it wasn't time to get up, and you just sat in his presence and waited on him? Flesh says, oh, you got things to do. You got business to take care of. But there's something down in your heart that says, no, I'm going to wait another few minutes. I'm going to wait until God releases me. Come on, I'm talking about encountering God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about having a God moment. When you get released, you know it was done. When you get released, you may not know how he did it or when it's going to manifest, but while you're there in that moment, you know, not because of your intellect, not because of your smarts, but because of him. You get up from there and you knew it's going to be all right. Oh, can we raise our hands one more time? Come on. Let the name of Jesus be upon the lips, upon your lips right now. Let the name of Jesus sit on the throne of your heart right now. Come on. Come on. Let's go just a little bit farther in here. Come on, let's just go a little bit farther this morning. Come on, let's go just a little bit farther. I believe I've got something to say here this morning. But I'm telling you right now, I feel the presence. I feel the drawing of the Holy Ghost in this place. I don't know who I'm talking to. It might just be for me, but I don't think so. I think there are some people in this room that are wanting to go just beyond formalism, but you want to go in to the presence of God where you can see him for yourself, where you can experience him for yourself. The only real counselor you need is Jesus. Oh, what about standing still until he speaks to you? Oh. Ramando Bosho. Alabashata. We talk a lot. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. But we talk a lot about church culture. We talk a lot about changing or having a change in our church culture. I don't mean this critically, please. I don't mean this critically. But if you've got to change your church culture, that means your focus was wrong from the very beginning. What about having a Jesus culture? What about having a Jesus culture? But whatever that goes on, it's about exalting, magnifying him. It's about lifting his name high. Is there anybody here that wants to elevate the name of Jesus just a little bit high. Not my way, Lord. It's your will. Jesus. We sang a song years ago that says, goes like this. I don't know if you know this one, Brother Nathaniel. You've been doing a great job catching up on those old ones, though. And the song goes, His name is higher than any other. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is higher than any other. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. If you're looking for another course, that's it. His name is higher than any other. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is higher than any other. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Come on, one more time. His name is. Yeah. Than any other. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is higher than any other. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Let's magnify him. All over this house, the name of Jesus should be on your lips right now. I don't care what your situation is, your circumstances is. He's Lord of all. It's kind of a, I find it just a little bit funny. Some say I have a strange little bent when it comes to my humor. All week long, most of the time, if you come in this building and you walk the sanctuary, a lot of times the lights are out. And there's a soft glow that comes from the platform most times. And it's because of that name, it's usually lit up. Not in a Broadway kind of way, but when you walk in this sanctuary, that's the focal point. I came in here this morning early and spending some time with the Lord and walked in, and that was the first thing I saw. The lights around Jesus were just glowing softly. I go home and get ready for service. Declan, and that light's off. Only Jesus knows really what he had planned for this morning. But I find it kind of ironic that while we're trying to elevate the name of Jesus, we have some problem with the lighting today. But I'm not worried about that light. I said, I'm not worried about that light. As long as we allow the light to shine in here. Jesus be the Lord of all. One more time, can you put your hands together for the Lord? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, I count it an immense privilege to be able to stand before you today, not because I feel like I'm all of that. I'm not. I'm none of that, actually. But to be able to have the opportunity to share with you the word of the Lord, I count it a wonderful privilege, and I thank the Lord for it, and I thank the pastor for giving me the opportunity to share with you, and I give honor to him, his wife. Amen. Give honor to Bishop and Mother Wright. You can be seated. Oh, is that because I told you to sit down? Amen. But I give honor to Bishop and Mother Wright. I was doing my best to wait on the Lord to see what he would have me to share with you today. And there are a lot of things that are good, but finding out what he wants for the moment can be challenging sometimes. And I gave up sermonizing a long time ago, which really kind of makes it kind of scary for me. I'm not recommending that for you, just the way my walk with God has gone. Just feel like the Lord doesn't want me to do that. I'll take obedience over performance any day. And I look across this auditorium, and there are, I guess, more seasoned saints that have been around as long or longer than I have. Brother and Sister Evans over here to my right. Brother Evans over here to my left. Sister Evans, they were here when I got here. Not that discounting anyone else. Just faces that are kind of sticking out in the crowd right now. But there's a great, great majority of you that really probably trying to figure out, well, who is this guy? You know, well, I've been around for a little while. As the young folks say, a minute, a few minutes. And a lot of our focus in ministry, while being a part of here, has been outside of here. We've had the opportunity to be a part of a few different expressions or congregations from this central location. And so that's why you haven't seen my wife and I are probably not familiar with us. But we get to come in the evening time and just kind of, you know, bask in the presence of the Lord with you. But because perhaps some of you don't know me, I kind of felt to share a little bit of my testimony. Would that be all right? You know, sometimes you sit next to people, you don't know where they come from. You don't know their story. And I'm going to share a little bit of my story. If I was going to share the whole story, we'd be here a long time. And I'd be praying for a lot of you. Some of you would go to sleep. Some of you have to pray healing, you know. You probably fall over and break your neck. And amen. But let's start here. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but if you have a device or a Bible with you, I'm going to start with Isaiah 55 and verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As I was waiting on the Lord this morning, this portion of Scripture came to me. And if you really, really knew me, you would say, that fits you perfectly. But the blood of Jesus hides it well. I was military, a military brat, and the year that my father got out of the military, I went in. Not because I wanted to, but because I wanted to get away from him. if you've heard this, I'm sorry, I'm just going to use it this morning. My father was a drill sergeant in the literal terms. The guys that wear the Smokey the Bear hats, that was my dad. And he came home one day, and he had this wonderful idea. Brother Barr, he had these raw recruits that mothers had released to go into the military and left them with my father and his company. And he watched these young men, and he used whatever techniques that the military taught him. And he said, well, if it'll work on them, it'll work on mine. I have three brothers. And we are relatively close in age, all about the same size, maybe an inch or two difference, either way you want to look at it. And so he came home with this theory that he was going to make us better men. And there came a point in that process, right about maybe 15 years old, I realized I didn't want that. And I was going to do my best to get away from it. And so much so, when I turned 17, I signed my way into the military, delayed entry program. I didn't have to go until I turned 18, but I signed my life away at 17 to get away from my dad. And you say, well, why'd you want to get away? Because I didn't want him telling me what to do. I had my own thoughts. I had my own way of thinking and how my life was going to go. Well, you go in, you run away from home with that attitude. You go into the military with that attitude. That doesn't make for a successful tenure in the military. I didn't want my dad telling me what to do. And the drill sergeants, I didn't want them to tell me what to do. Some folks think, well, Brother Middleton's an easygoing guy. Like I said, the blood hides a lot. I don't really share this part of the story, but I will this morning. I spent 6 years in the military. A lot of folks go into the military, and they have a wonderful story of what the military did for them and how they were able to use their training and become successful at whatever they were doing. Well, I regret to tell you that didn't work for me. I spent 6 years in the military, and I got busted about six times, all the way down from that standing rank down to, as we called back then, buck private, back to a zero, several times. If I wanted to go home, of course, I was supposed to have, you know, leave paper signed, permission from the company to go. I had friends that were there, and they said they were going home on a 3-day weekend. It didn't matter to me if I had any leave time or not. If they were going home, Brother Rumcheck, guess what? I was in the car. Did you get permission or did you get leave? For what? That's just the way it was. And I'd go and stay away for 3 or 4 days and come back and face the music. And a lot of times that meant that I lost money. And then when they realized that just losing money wasn't going to get it, they started peeling away the stripes. And while my contemporaries all had decorated sleeves and collars, Brother Barr, I was naked. All because I was full of my own way. Didn't want anybody to tell me anything. Don't tell me how to do this. I'm just as smart as you are, I thought. Needless to say, that time in the military was not an enjoyable time. I got out of the military. You know what the craziest part about all of this was? I was trained by a decorated drill sergeant. I knew how to soldier. I knew how to do it. But I refused to do it. I was just that stubborn. I was going to do it my way. There are some folks in this room today. You've been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. But I just described you. You're going to do it your way. And maybe a little bit upset because your contemporaries, those with you, seems like they are making progress and you're stuck in quicksand. Is this all right? Well, that happened to me. Remember I told you about that come to Jesus moment? I got out of the military, and fortunately, I was able to make some semblance of my rank back. I probably could have been in E5, E6, the very, very least, if I would have done what I'm supposed to do. But I got out as an E4, just barely. I was surprised when they gave me an honorable discharge. You're laughing. I'm not. See, in that 6 years, the last few years, it really hit a crisis point. I got arrested. They say for attempted murder. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. But I was with the person that did. You know the old saying grandmama used to say, birds of a feather? And I screamed and belly-hooed, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. Guess what? They were still ready to lock me up for 15 and a half years. I lied my way out of it. I said I wasn't there. But I was standing right there. I got out of that situation. Not long after that, got out of the military. Figured I'm just going to go ahead and do my own thing. I'm not going to, you know, alcohol, that was my thing. Alcohol and marijuana and all different kinds of abuse, almost every kind of abuse you could think about, I either experienced or was privy of it. And one fateful day in October of 1981, this lovely lady with a big smile came knocking on the door. Some of you will know her, Sister Debbie Owens. She knocked on my door, our door. I was living in a situation that was not a real reputable one. She knocked on that door. I didn't understand the turmoil that was going on in here. I didn't understand that at all. But she came in, and it was like a light filled the room for just an hour or two, sharing the Word of God, sharing a Bible study. And over the course of time, maybe 5 weeks' time, I finally got to the place where I figured, well, I know a little bit about the Bible. I'm not as dumb as I look. So I started opening my mouth and sharing what little that I did know. And right about the fifth or sixth week of that Bible study, the Holy Ghost came knocking on the door. It was Monday night. Back then they called it Monday Night Football. I was a heavy smoker, heavy drinker. Right after the Bible study, I think it was halftime, I went, lit up a cigarette, fired it up, and the person that I was living with at the time, Sister Owens, was conversing with her, sharing with her, and it's something. You ever notice that the Holy Ghost can walk through walls? I had no desire, no interest, Brother Tommy, at that time. I just wanted to do the Bible study, thank her, and let me watch Monday Night Football. And while I was sitting there, this presence I didn't recognize it. We didn't experience that kind of presence, Sister Evans, in the church that I grew up in. But his presence just came through the walls and sat right there on the sofa with me while I was smoking my cigarette. Some folks say, well, Jesus doesn't want to be around that. I don't think that that's his preference. But if you're there, if you're there, he'll put up with it for a little while. And I lit that cigarette, and it got really weird. And all of a sudden, one cigarette wouldn't do it. I was smoking two cigarettes at one time. Anybody ever tried to shake the conviction of the Holy Ghost off? I ran upstairs and looked in the mirror, and my face was lit up like a light bulb. And I was sweating without sweating. My eyes were wide open. I couldn't figure out, what in the world is this? But I didn't want to miss the football game, so I ran back downstairs. I ran back downstairs and watched the football game. And Sister Owens was still there ministering to the individual that I was living with at the time. And obviously, at this point, the individual was feeling the presence of the Lord also. And Sister Owens was telling her what she was experiencing, just kind of walked her through, told her what you were experiencing, and she tapped on the table very lightly. She says, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. Why don't you open the door and let him in? And when she said that, something just kind of piqued my interest. And so I stood up and ran to the entrance of the other room. And at that point, Sister Owens had her hand on this individual's head, and there were tears about the size of quarters rolling down her face. And in a matter of 10, 15 seconds of observing what was going on, I'm not a mathematician. I can't figure or calculate that fast. But in about 10, 15 seconds, I realized whatever was happening with her, I wanted it. I didn't have a lesson on the Godhead. I didn't have a lesson on holiness. All I knew was that the Holy Ghost was available. And what I was feeling and experiencing was the presence of God. Nobody told me about holiness doctrine. None of that. The only thing that she taught in that lesson was Jesus. And how much Jesus loved and cared for me, and that he died for me, and that my sins could be washed away. You see, when I came to God, I didn't come to God for a better life. Some of us are sitting here today trying to figure out how we can have a better life. I came because he promised a new life. I got tired of the old life. The old life had ran its course. Stubbornness had gone as far as it could go. I was tired of missing out because of my own rebellion. I was tired of not experiencing the good things that God had promised, not because of anybody else, but because of me. Does this make any sense? And in about 15 seconds, I slid across that floor on my knees, slid about 15 feet. And when I stopped, there was a hand on the top of my head. And she told me, you know, it's feeling kind of weird. You know, my lips and my tongue got kind of heavy. I was like, oh. You know, it's kind of tingling, you know. I was like, in my mind, I was trying to, you know what? If God's got to answer all of your questions before you respond to him, you're going to miss out. Because I don't care how you slice it, it's still going to take faith. There's still going to be questions that you don't have an answer for. And you're going to have to trust him for those answers. I know Andre Crouch made a song very famous. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Well, the other day I realized that song's not scriptural. Find anywhere in the Bible where it says Jesus is the answer. I believe in John 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If any man come to the Father, he's got to come by me. Oh, stop fussing with me now. Y'all still stuck on the answer. You stuck. Jesus didn't say he was the answer. He could give you the answer, but you got to do it his way. He'll give you the answer, but you got to submit to the way. It still takes repentance. It still takes submission. It still takes surrender. It still takes consecration. It still takes dedication. That's the way. It might be a tight way. It might be a narrow way. But Jesus, this is Jesus' way. I was riding in a car with somebody. You know, the toughest thing to do is to ride in a car with somebody and you think you know the way. You think you know the way, but they're going another way. Everybody in this room, whether you want to admit it or not, you've asked Jesus, Jesus, where are you going? Lord, this is not the way. This is not the way that we're supposed to, this is not the way it's supposed to happen. Lord, I know the way. I know your word, Lord. Your word says, but we forget about all the other in-betweens. That's the toughest thing, to ride with somebody and you think you know where you're supposed to be going and they're taking another way. Haven't you figured it out yet? Jesus' way is not your way. And trying to figure it out is, I find Jesus doesn't always take the quickest trip.
He doesn't always take the quickest.
The quickest route.
No.
Smoothest route.
No.
The roughest route. We'll consider that. He doesn't do things the way we think they ought to be done. And that's our glitch and hang up with God, because God doesn't think like we think. He doesn't look at it the way you look at it. You know, we've got this view. And he's viewing it from up here. How many know this view is different from this view? You see, he knows what the end will be. There's some in this room today. You didn't come here today because you wanted to. You came here today because you were summoned. You were summoned by the Lord. You're trying to make sense of your life and you can't figure it out. Because you think you got your life figured out already. You've got your purpose in mind. And he's got his purpose in mind. And you read Romans 8 where it talks about all things work together for good. You know, that's a frustrating scripture. That scripture's not right. Oh, we talk about it, we sing about it, we shout about it, even try to testify about it, but deep down in our heart, we're still trying to figure it out. How is this going to work? The only way it works is when you're called according to his purpose. What all of this foolishness was about, that 6 years in the military doing my own thing, what was that all about? I didn't know my head from a hole in the ground. What was that all about, Lord? Am I just hard luck Charlie? Can I not get it together? Am I just doomed to? But I had my way in view. I had my purpose as a plan. But it wasn't until I submitted to his purpose.
Yes.
And that's a daily thing that I have to submit to. Because I don't see the whole picture. I just see one step at a time. One step at a time. And as I submit those steps, all of a sudden it starts making sense. A lot of it, we're trying to make, why did I go through this? Why am I facing so much hardship? How come I can't keep a job? Because within his purpose, there has to be a measure of brokenness to come. You may not understand that, but he does. And he has all of that in view and in mind. And he's working in your life. But you got to come to a place where you trust him. It took me a long time before I really trusted my father. Long time. And then I ended up with two kids. Changed my views very quickly. Because I had to now begin to make decisions similar to my dad's. They may not like it. They may not understand it. But I still have to do what's best for them. There's somebody in this room today. You're grumbling with God. You're trying to make sense of where you're at and what you're going through. You know, we talk about trust. You don't really trust God because you're not convinced that he's got your best interest at heart. But I can tell you today, you may not understand it, but trust him anyway. He may not give you the answer today. I've had questions that I've asked God over the past 40 years. Brother Mallory, there were some of them he didn't answer for 20 years. I'm serious. And when he showed it to me, they were so simple. Is that what that was? Yep, that's what that was. Lord, how come you didn't show me that earlier? As simple as it was, you weren't ready to receive it yet. You were still wanting to do it your way. It's amazing. It's amazing how simple this thing gets when you surrender to him. It's amazing how simple it gets when you begin to understand that he's working it all out for your good. But it's according to his design, not yours. Anybody ever asked the question, why was I created? Anybody ask the question, why was I born? That's a question that's common to us all. The world can't answer that question. I'm going to say that again. The world can't answer that question. Do you know how many quote-unquote church people get lost in the world because they're trying to find their purpose and fail to submit to his? The highways are littered with young people who have lost their way in an attempt to find their purpose. Military, I was a miserable failure. Militarily, I come from a military family, as I said. My father was a successful military man. My brother under me, he was a very successful military man. My brother under him was successful military.
just me. I'm the only one that didn't have a successful military career. If you would ask me that question, why, 10, 15 years ago, Brother Nathaniel, if you would have asked me why then, I couldn't give you an answer. But if it wasn't for those, that time of failure, if it wasn't for that time of being broken, if it wasn't for that time of being misunderstood, rejected by many, if it wasn't for that, when Sister Owens came knocking on the door, I would not have been in a position, in a place to receive the word of the Lord. But when she came, I was a broken man. But the Lord knew, right in the midst of this brokenness, I'm going to sow a seed. I'm going to sow a seed in this life that's going to change it forever. I don't lament those times anymore. I just look at it as part of the process that brought me here. God is good. Did I always understand it? No. Did I always embrace it? No. But here I stand today, 40 years later, looking back, and I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to surrender my life to you. And until I don't know where you are in this. Maybe you're trying to figure it all out for you. And I say it doesn't matter if you've been living for God for 50 years or you just started. It all starts at the same place. It starts at a place of surrender. Not my will, Lord, but your will. Not my plans, Lord, but your plans. Lord, my dreams. And that's what they were. They were my dreams. They weren't his for me. They were mine. I had to surrender those to him so that he could do in me what he wanted to do. I could show you some pictures. I have a few of them on my phone. I'm bald today, but I wasn't always bald. I used to sport a big old mouth. I got proof. I got proof. My girls, my son, they look at him from time to time. They said, "Dad, I can't believe you had hair like that." Yeah, I did. I did. But that's a whole another life. I laid that old life down and embraced the new life that he has for me. My grandkids look at those pictures and they said, "That's not my poppy. That's not my poppy." You're not telling me a story. That's not my poppy. Little did they know. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't know who you are, but I'm here to tell you today, if you trust him, you will not be disappointed. If you trust him, he will never, never disappoint. But you have to find that place. Lord, I don't know where this is going to lead. I don't know how this is going to end up, except I'm going to be in heaven. I don't know the in-betweens. I don't know the steps in between. I don't understand all of that. But Lord, I'm going to trust you all the way. There's a transformation that's ready to happen for somebody in this room today. But it's not going to be a transformation like you think. There's not going to be a wand tap you on the head and say it's done. It's a transformation over time. As you commit, as you continue to surrender, and as you continue to trust him, and you move from one glory to the next glory, and from that glory to the next glory. A transformation is available, but he's looking for a condition from you. And that condition says, "Lord, I surrender to your way." Would you stand to your feet? When I was walking in my own way, when they locked me in that cell, I was looking through those bars, Brother Barr, trying to figure out how in the world did I end up here? What did I do to get here? You see, that's what happens when you walk in your own way. This altar is open. Know who you are, but I know you're here. And you've been summoned by God, not by me. You've been brought here by God to begin your transformation to fulfilling His purpose. Whomever you are, I'm inviting you, just come present yourself to the Lord here today. Presence, power of God. Isaac, she kalarabaka shato loroboko shoto. He kalaramando roboko shoto loroboko. God's moving. I know a lot of times you're looking for a big emotional whatever. No. We're not doing that. It's a decision that you have to make. This is not on anybody else. This is on you. This is on you. Today is your day. Today is your opportunity to answer His summons so that you can fulfill His design purpose. Well, if I lay all that down, then what does it mean? It means you're going to have to trust Him to bring it all to pass. You're going to have to trust Him to bring it all together. You're going to have to trust Him to make sense of it. Stop trying to figure it out. And let Him lay it all out before you as you present yourself to Him. Come on, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, come on. Come on, in the name of Jesus. That's where it begins, right there. Lord, I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to surrender to you in the name of Jesus. Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing. Come on, in the name of Jesus. I've tried to do it my way. I've done it my way for so long, Lord, and there's no good fruit. There's nothing good coming from it, Lord. Me doing it myself. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Ikatayanda la la bakashata. Ela makanda ratata bahaya. Come on, yeah. Yes, come on, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Rabo shondo bokoriata bahaya. Come on, let Him take you beyond where you've been before. Let Him take you beyond that wall of resistance. Let Him take you beyond that rebellious streak. In the name of Jesus.
Robo soto boko rianda bahaya. Ekata yanda la la bahaya. Ekarama yando lobo soto. To you, everything I give to you, withholding nothing.
And I surrender all to you. And everything I give to you.
Holding nothing. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
Oh, I feel it. I feel him in this place right now. Come on, let's not get lost in emotionalism. Come on, let's apply that little seed of faith. Let's apply that little bit of faith. It didn't profit them because they didn't mix it with faith. Oh, hatayanda la la bo shatayanda bahaya. Hey, andala na moshanda yala na bahaya. That's it. Come on. Oh, he can make sense of it. He can make sense of it all if you'll just trust him. He can make sense of the abuse. He can make sense of the neglect. He can make sense of it, but you've got to trust him.
Withholding nothing. I'm withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. I surrender all
to you. Come on, when your future's not clear, you can still trust him. When you don't have an answer, you're still on the right path. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Robo soto bokosa. Eliando bokoriata la la bahai. Ele mando robokoshiata la la bahai. I trust you, Lord. I trust you with my good days. I trust you, Lord, with my not so good days. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Mandala la bashata yandala bakaya. Ikaya la la basando loboko shoto borianda la bahaya. Oh,
I trust you, Jesus. Oh, when you can't trust anyone else, you can't count on anybody else, he can be trusted. Come on, there's an afterglow that's settling on this people right now. There's a glow, there's an afterglow of his presence. It's just resting. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Please, let's be mindful of those that are still praying. There is a God. There is a God. And he is able. He's able to do it. He's able to put it all together according to his plan. According to his purpose. You'll never be disappointed. Put it all in his hands.